Welcome.
It's time for the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Brother and Pastor Dave Jones from Faith Independent Baptist Church, 1532 Elisha Creek Road in Hebron, Kentucky. Check out the website, faithindependentbaptisthebron.org. And now, Pastor Dave Jones with the Old Time Country Church Broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Old Time Country Church Broadcast. I'm Pastor Dave Jones, pastor of the Faith Independent Baptist Church in Hebron, Kentucky. And they sponsor this broadcast every week, and we're so happy you have tuned in our way. We've had some good response from the sermons and the broadcast recently, and we're thankful for this radio station and for those who help us make this broadcast possible here at the station. And we're thankful you've tuned in. Tell some other folks about it. We're on every Friday at 4:30 and every Sunday morning at 8:30 in the morning. We're always glad to have new listeners tune in. I want you to listen to a song, and then we're going to get into the scriptures on the subject of the reality of hell. I want you to hear a song, a duet from our church. Recently we recorded it with Sister Marcy Webster and myself, and the name of the song is The Haven of Rest.
My soul is at ease, hours out of my sleep, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard the sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. In the haven of rest, I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yield in myself to His tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the Word. My fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven. I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story of blessed, of Jesus who saved, whosoever will have a hope in the haven. For the wild. I'm saved evermore.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 16. And in verse 19, the Lord talks about a certain man. And when it comes to the subject of hell, the world in general likes to excuse it away. They love to use the word hell in a flippant way. I heard a guy the other day on the radio say that something was funny as hell. I doubt that anybody in hell is laughing. I've heard another guy said it was cold as hell. Well, that's a crazy thing to say, because we're going to see from the scriptures that it's certainly not cold there. And we're going to see, I hope, that it is a real place. And the world and society and much religion, it tries to ignore the fact that it's in the Bible. They explain it away. Some of the newer translations of the Bible, so-called translations, will do away with the word altogether. They'll try to translate it to say Hades or Gehenna or whatever, you know. Some folks say, well, it's the grave. You're going to find out that none of those are correct. God calls it hell, H-E-L-L. And he says this, Jesus is speaking here in verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. He said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. All right, the thing that ought to get our attention today is that Jesus said it was a certain rich man. This is not an allegory. This is not a parable. This is not some illustration Jesus gave. He talked about a real man. He said there was a certain man, and this certain man was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had a nice wardrobe. During that time of the history of the world, that those were very expensive garments that he was wearing. And when he fared sumptuously, the Bible talks about other places where the kings fare sumptuously. And one of the places in Proverbs said, if you ever sat down at the king's table, he said, you need to put a knife to your throat so you don't have to overeat all these things. And so he didn't lack for anything to eat. And he had the best of food and he had the best of clothes. But there's another man enters this equation. Jesus said in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which is laid at his gate full of sores. And so the Bible said there's two men here that were both, that Jesus called certain men, and is not named, but Lazarus is. And it said he was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which is laid at his gate full of sores. During that time, it was not unusual to see people laid at the gate of rich folks or people that had something, because they would beg and beg the crumbs, and he could very well have been a leper or had some other awful disease that made sores on his body. And it was not unusual to walk down through town and find these people begging and in awful shape. I'm old enough to remember the aftermath of World War II. I remember walking down the street with my mother as a child and seeing the veterans who had come home with their legs blown off, and they were sitting on little skateboards, and they had little cups of pencils they were selling, and they were not begging. These were brave men who fought for our freedom, and they were not going to just sit home and do nothing. Then they were selling pencils and little flags and things like that. And that memory stuck in my mind, and I've always had respect for our military and those who serve, that we might have freedom. And so here was this man. He was laid at the gate full of sores, and the Bible said in verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. This man was miserable to the place where he laid there. Nobody took care of him. And the dogs came and licked his sores. I imagine there was all kinds of infection and awful things going on with him. And he was just in a dire straits. And apparently all he wanted was the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He didn't ask for a steak. He didn't ask for the man to bring him out a big plate of food. He just wanted the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. In verse 22, we find here that the narrative changes a little bit. We find these two men, and one is rich and one is a beggar. The rich man's eating everything he wants. He's clothed in purple and fine linen. The beggar is laid at his gate full of sores. No doubt he was dressed in rags and was dying of whatever disease he had. And the dogs came and licked his sores. So in verse 22, it said, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, that's not a big surprise. Everybody figured the beggar might die. They walked by every day and they said, man, is this guy still alive today? He's been out here all these weeks and days and looks like he's still alive. So when he walked by one day and found that he had died laid at the rich man's door, I'm sure that was not any surprise to them. We live in a self-righteous society. They say, well, I'm not as bad as the guy who murders or who commits robbery or whatever. No, that's not true. We're all sinners, the Bible said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I imagine they went by and said, man, what a mess. And he's finally dead. That's probably good riddance. Get the wagon and haul him off. When I was a kid, I joined the Army right out of high school, and I was stationed in Europe. And one of the sights I got to see in Europe was when I went to the concentration camp Dachau outside of Munich. And this was about 15 years after the Second War ended. And they were still making a museum out of that. And we walked through there, and you could see pictures of the trenches where those bodies had been piled up. You could see the ovens with the wheelbarrows where they had taken the dead bodies and dumped them into ovens and burnt them, some of them still alive. And you could see all of that. It was all still there. It just sent a shiver down my spine. But I can imagine they rolled this beggar up and hauled him off, and they said, well, that's one less beggar in town that we have to deal with. And good riddance, he was kind of a eyesore. We're trying to clean the community up, and here's this guy laying at the rich man's table at his gate. He was just a mess. We're glad he's gone. So the Bible said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. So here we have the poor man, the beggar. The Bible said he died, and he was carried by the angels. Now, I don't know what men did with him. They may have taken him and thrown him over a hill someplace. They probably didn't give him a burial. They probably didn't care. He probably didn't have any relatives, no money. So what do they care? I don't know what happened to his body, but I know what happened to him. When he died, the Bible said the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom at that time was in the center of the earth. Hell apparently was compartmented at that time, divided into paradise and into hell. And there was a gulf fixed, you'll see in just a minute. And the Bible said they couldn't pass over that gulf. In Ephesians 4, you have Jesus descending into hell after the cross before he went to heaven to ascend, and he led captivity captive. That is, he took all of the Old Testament saints out of paradise and out of Abraham's bosom and led them into glory after he died and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. That's found in Ephesians chapter 4. But anyway, he went to Abraham's bosom. He went into the center part of the earth. And so the Bible said the latter part of verse 22 there, it says, and the rich man died also. Now, there was a surprise, because here's the rich man. He probably had the best of medical care. He had eaten the best of food. He had no stress in his life, and he was probably a prominent man in the town, but he died. And what does that tell us? The Bible says, the appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And friend, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, you're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day unless Jesus comes in the air to catch us out, the believers. Before that time, we're going to die. We have an appointment with death. And the rich and the poor meet together in death, the Bible says. And so, and God is no respecter of persons, and death is no respecter of persons. And so here the rich man died also. Now, where did he go? We know the poor man went into Abraham's bosom, which was a place of rest and peace. And we know that the rich man went, and in hell, verse 23, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now notice that the rich man, when he died, in verse 22, verse 23 starts out and says, and in hell. What does that tell us? That tells us there's no stopping off place. There is no such place as purgatory. There's no such place as limbo. These are made up by religion to get your money. And I'm telling you right now that this man went straight into hell from his death. That's what happened. Somebody said, Brother Dave, I'm going to think about my soul, and I'll make a choice someday. And if I get into purgatory or limbo, then somebody will pray me out. Well, don't count on that, because the Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And I'm saying to you that the first thing out of his mouth when he got to hell, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Friend of mine, let me tell you something. There's mercy available today. If you're not saved, you need to call upon the Lord. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm telling you that if you'll call upon him, he'll save you and cleanse you and take you to heaven when you die. That's God's promise. But you need to call today. There's mercy today. There is no mercy after death if you die without Christ. The first words out of this rich man's mouth was, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I'm going to tell you something, that was a prayer. He should have prayed this side of the grave, but he didn't. There is mercy. You said, preacher, I've been too wicked. No, there's mercy. You said, I've been a sinner all my life. There's still mercy. I've hurt people. There's still mercy. I'm telling you, God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. You do not have to go to hell. That's the good news today. You don't have to go. Thank God you don't have to go. And so he said down here, and he said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. The first thing this man saw when he got to hell was the flames, and the first thing he felt was that torment that was caused by the flames. And what did he want? He wanted Lazarus to come and to bring water and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. Now, turn that around. I imagine there was times in those hot days when poor Lazarus, who laid at the gate of the rich man, would have loved to have some water, but apparently he didn't get any. And now the rich man's begging Abraham. He said, send this man down here with just a cup of water and let it dip his finger in it. I'm not asking for the whole cup. I'm not asking for a big bottle of water. I'm asking you to send him. He might put one drop of water on my parched tongue. You say, well, Brother Dave, that's an allegory. No, that's reality. Jesus said a certain man went to a certain place. In the book of Mark, the Bible talks about hell fire. The Bible talks about a place that is called hell fire that is in the center of this earth. And I'm telling you that he begged for water. Have you ever been so thirsty you'd have given anything for just a cup of good, cool, cold water? I've been there, been in places like that. And eventually we do get it, and it tastes so good to us going down. Our throat is parched, our lips are dried, and we love to taste that water. But he couldn't even get one drop of water that he begged for. And so he said, I'm tormented in this flame. Then in verse 25 said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. The other next thing I want you to see that Jesus brings out is that this man, when he went to hell, had a memory. And he was called on to remember his lifetime. You and I, we have memories. We have a mind. We can go back and remember things. A lot of things I wish that I didn't have to remember. I know they're under the blood. I know that God has forgiven me. They're indelibly impressed in my mind. I wish they weren't there. And I'm telling you something. If you die without Christ today, neighbor, and you go to hell, you're going to remember every radio broadcast you heard that presented Jesus Christ to you. You're going to remember every time the Holy Spirit of God tugged on your heart and you rejected him. You're going to remember every time that some family member prayed for you and invited you to church. You're going to remember every time that somebody handed you a gospel tract out on the street. You're going to remember. And that's part of the torment, that you remember the times and the opportunities you had to get saved. Jesus told him one day, he said, you know what? I wanted to give you to you as a hen doth her chicks, but you would not. You would not. Salvation is the choice you make. You choose Christ after he offers you the salvation. He doesn't force it on you. He doesn't beat you down and make you take it. He gives man a free will. And he said, I want you, you can receive it or reject him. The book of Proverbs talks about the danger of rejecting and rejecting and rejecting. And then one day God said, I'm going to have the last laugh. I'm going to laugh at you when your calamity cometh. He said, because you wouldn't turn, because you hardened your neck and you hardened your heart. And he said, now in hell, he lifted up his eyes and was begging for water. And he begging for mercy. And the Bible said here that he said, I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, beside all this between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence, you cannot, neither can he come from to you that would pass from thence. He said, there is a gulf here. He said, where Abraham is and where the beggar is paradise. They got a wonderful place there. They're not in torment. They're not in pain. They're waiting Jesus to die on the cross and present his blood and come and lead them captive out of there and take them to glory. And if you read about paradise in the Bible, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, there was a rich man there. There were two thieves there. And the one on the one side repented finally. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to that man, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, where did Jesus go that day? According to Ephesians, he descended into the center part of the earth and preached to the spirits in prison and led captivity captive. So we know that paradise was in the center of the earth at one time. That's where the beggar was, and the rich man was in hell, and a gulf separated them, and nobody could pass between them. Paul, in his ministry, said that he went to the third heaven and he saw paradise. So paradise during Paul's time was no longer in the center of the earth. It was in heaven. He went up into the third heaven and he said, I was in paradise. And so here you have this great gulf fixed so that they cannot get out. They can't pass one to the other. I've done a lot of jail ministries and worked in jails and prisons and so forth in my life. I had young people say, well, I'll tell you what, my dad's going to get me out of prison. My dad's, he's an influential guy. He's got a high-powered lawyer, and he's going to get me out. But after a while, it didn't work. That lawyer couldn't get him out. And there was no way that boy was going to walk out the front gate of that prison. He had time to serve, and they weren't going to let him out. And so here this man said that he had a great gulf fixed, and nobody could pass from one place to the other. The rich man then said, verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He said, if I can't get water, and I can't get mercy, and I can't get out of here, he said, would you please, for God's sake, send somebody down to my father's house? I've got five brothers down there. And he said, they're all going to come to this place. I wonder why that was. It could have been because they were following his example. He may have been the most successful in that family. The rich man may have been a so-called self-made man. I read an article not too long ago about Elvis Presley. And one of the last songs and one of the last concerts he did before he died suddenly was a song called I Did It My Way. Well, he did, but it didn't work out so good for him, did he? Here was a man who was the heartthrob of the music, the sex symbol of all the teenagers of that time in the 50s and 60s, a man that made hundreds of millions of dollars and his records sold off the shelves as fast as he could make them, died several pounds overweight sitting on his own toilet. That was an inglorious way to die, I'll tell you that. I hope the man was saved. He said he was. I pray that he was. But I'm telling you right now, that the Bible said here, he said, I got five brothers, and I can't get out of here to go warn them. There is a place like this. I want you to send Lazarus. Bring him back from the dead. That will get their attention if he's brought back from the dead. That was the concept. If you bring somebody back from the dead, and this ghost shows up at their house, they'll listen to him. Well, here's what Abraham told him. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So they say, he said, look, that's not the way it gets done. We don't resurrect ghosts and send them in to bring people to the Lord. He said they have Moses and the prophets. They have the written law, they have the word of God, and they have the prophets who preach that. Neighbor, the Bible said it pleased God with the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to be saved, you're going to hear the gospel and believe what the word of God said. You're not saved by seeing some apparition. I know a lot of people who claim they got saved. I talked to a fellow one time. He was in the hospital. I asked him, I said, sir, you ever been saved? Oh, I said, yeah. He said, I got saved here the other day. I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, I woke up in the night here in the hospital, and he said, I saw Jesus standing in my bed, and he was telling me that I was going to get saved, and he touched me, and I felt this electric go through my body, and then he disappeared, and I woke up. Well, I'll tell you something, brother. I'd hate to die with that testimony because that's not the way you get saved. That was probably just the drugs they've given the poor fella, making him react in dreams and that kind of stuff. You don't get saved by seeing visions. Are you listening to me? You don't get saved by feeling something. You don't get saved by some story grandma told. You get saved by hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached, and the Holy Ghost of God brings conviction to your soul, and you believe the gospel. You believe that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day, and you believe that, receive Christ into your heart, and the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I wouldn't want to trust that kind of testimony. So the concept here was, rich man said, man, if we resurrect this ghost and send him down there, that'll shake him up and they'll get saved. Abraham said, no, that's not the way it works. And he said, and the rich man's talking, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went in from the dead, they will repent. He said, I know they'll repent if somebody, if they know somebody's dead, and he shows up like Marley's ghost, you know, in Dickens' story. But down in verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Man, what a statement he made here. He said, if they reject Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they reject the word of God and the preaching of God's word, he said they're not going to receive the Lord if they're going to reject the prophets. He said, even though a ghost went to them, they're not going to receive him. Friend, the good news is that Christ died in your place, that he suffered on the cross and was buried, and 3 days and three nights later rose again, and he's seated at God's right hand. He offers salvation to whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our time is gone today. I'm so glad you listened in. My prayer is you're not saved, that you'll get on your knees today and repent and ask God to come in your heart and save you and believe that Christ died for you. And you'll find in him no better friend than anybody's ever had, that wonderful friend, Jesus Christ. We leave the air today. I want you to listen to Brother Dale Tilley and our bluegrass group playing the instrumental from the old songbook called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. God bless you, neighbor. Till the next time.
You've been listening to the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Brother and Pastor Dave Jones from Faith Independent Baptist Church, 1532 Elijah Creek Road in Hebron, Kentucky. Check out the website, faithindependentbaptisthebron.org. Write to Faith Independent Baptist Church today, Post Office Box 502, Hebron, Kentucky 41048. Faith Independent Baptist Church in Hebron, with Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning preaching at 11 a.m., Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening prayer service at 6:30 p.m. Tune in again next week at this time for the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Pastor Dave Jones. Thanks for listening.
There. This is Pastor Dave Jones, pastor of the Faith Independent Baptist Church and host of the Old Time Country Church Broadcast that you'll hear every week, 4:30 on Friday and 8:30 on Sunday morning. Come out and visit us at church. We're an old-time Bible-believing church located in the community of Hebron, Kentucky, 1532 Elijah Creek Road. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Brother Dave Jones, Fridays at 4:30 and Sundays at 8:30 on Christian Talk 1160.